Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
It's 9 to noon with John Kuhn and me, Rami Makhlouf, with Brandon Snide on the other side of the glass. We are live from the 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, and powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Our pick six will take a six-pack of games in the NFL this weekend. Make our picks coming up in just a few minutes. An existential question for Wisconsin sports fans coming up at 10 o'clock. But joining us now on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. Longtime ESPN reporter covering the NFL, now covering the Dallas Cowboys for WFAA, an absolute honor and a pleasure to welcome in Mr. Ed Werder. Ed, how are you this morning, my man?
I am doing well and hope the same for both of you. I've been in Lambeau Field many times when I've heard them chant "Coon."
They still do that when he just walks down the street, Ed. He gets that on a day-to-day basis out here in Packerland. Obviously, the story coming into this one is the Micah Parsons trade. He returns to Dallas for the first time since the tumultuous contract negotiations in the offseason that resulted in his trade to the Packers. What was the reaction inside the building from people not named Jerry Jones when that trade went down? And what kind of emotion is there in that building going into this one on Sunday?
You know, I think listen to guys like, you know, Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb and Trayvon Diggs. You know, they were all surprised that the contract negotiation produced this outcome, mainly because it's one we've never really seen before. I mean, Jerry Jones has a long history of extended contract negotiations. I mean, they didn't sign Dak Prescott last year until game day, week one. They signed CeeDee Lamb a couple weeks before that. Ezekiel Elliott, they signed the week of a game, a season opener against the Giants. So we've never seen the Cowboys do with anybody what they've done with Micah Parsons, which is trade a generational player at a key position on defense to any other team, much less an NFC team that competes for the same Super Bowl berth, theoretically, that the Cowboys do. So I think there's a lot of anticipation within the locker room about the competitive aspect of this game. Jerry Jones even said, you know, it kind of gives him a competitive edge walking into the stadium on Sunday night, the stakes being what they are in terms of, you know, justifying this trade, his reputation. I think the Cowboys go into the game with winning the game their first priority and not being embarrassed by Micah Parsons their next priority.
And I'm really interested in the locker room about this for Dallas, because while this was going down, and you mentioned CeeDee Lamb right before the season, Dak Prescott minutes before the game, it felt like they got theirs done. As this thing was playing out, I think a lot of players probably looked around and said, well, this is the way we do business. This is standard operating procedure. But then seeing the way that it ended with a trade, that had to be a shock to them. If you polled that locker room, would they have differing opinions, or would they be united on who they feel is at fault for this trade?
Well, you know, it's been kind of surprising that, you know, Dak Prescott did not, like, denounce the trade or criticize Jerry and the front office in any way when this deal was made. He had a very ambivalent initial reaction to the whole thing, which is not what you would expect when you've lost one of your three best players in the locker room. Yeah, and a time when, you know, you as a quarterback, you're 32 years old, and your window for ever winning a championship is rapidly closing, And I felt, and I think many of them did, like this sent a bad message to the locker room about how invested the front office was in this season, in this team. Because you're trading somebody who is going to help you win, who's going to be the centerpiece of your defense in 2025, and you're trading him for, yes, Kenny Clark is a good player and he addresses a position of need, but you're trading one of your best players for assets to rebuild after this season. So, you know, I mean, when training camp opened and Micah was there not participating, you know, Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, as I said, have already been, just went through this last year, talked about how unfortunate it was for the team that they're put in this position every year, how unfair it is, how difficult it is. But Dak really did not have, you know, any criticism to deliver on behalf of his teammate, who he, you know, yesterday talked about as a great friend, great competitor, looks forward to competing against him on the field on Sunday night. I guess when you're the highest paid player in NFL history, maybe you have to be, you know, moderate in whatever, you know, whatever criticism you deliver toward the front office.
All right, Ed, a couple things about this Cowboys team is not just Micah Parsons being gone, but now some of their stars are gone too. CeeDee Lamb is down. I mean, I think Packer fans know a lot about George Pickens, and he's a household name, but who are some of the players that they don't know that could play a big impact role in this football game?
Well, I think, you know, the Cowboys are fortunate that, you know, too often in Dak's career they've forced him to take the field without enough playmakers. Certainly they've deprived him at wide receiver often, but this year they actually did go out and make.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Make a significant trade and acquire George Pickens, who now elevates to being the number one receiver on the team, and that's a role he held in Pittsburgh. But the Cowboys still lose the most dynamic playmaker in their offense without CeeDee Lamb. You know, I think Brian Schottenheimer, the first-year coach, has made a real point of emphasis in getting Kevontae Turpin involved more as a wide receiver than Mike McCarthy ever envisioned. And so he's a guy who has game-breaking potential. We've seen him, you know, score touchdowns and register as the fastest player in the NFL, primarily as a kick returner, but he's adding a lot to this offense. So I think he'll get some opportunities in this game, maybe more than you would expect. And then, you know, they're going to have to run the football. Javonte Williams has been very successful. They talked about him, the first free agents they signed this offseason, that he was a number one back. We didn't see it till the regular season started, but they seem to be correct in that evaluation. And then I think Jake Ferguson, the tight end, is another guy that has to be featured more in this circumstance. He's gotten a lot of catches, too many, in my opinion, around the line of scrimmage. They need to get him down the field more for some seam routes and big gainers.
I noticed you didn't name anybody on the defensive side of the football, and I think with good reason, Ed, with what we've seen the first 3 weeks without Micah Parsons. What's the level of panic down there in Dallas about the state of this defense and what we've seen from them weeks 1 through 3?
Well, there's a lot of criticism of the defensive coordinator, Matt Eberflus, who, if you look at it objectively, is put in a very difficult position from the standpoint of he's the third different defensive coordinator that they've had in 3 years. Oof. And so clearly, when you change that position that many times, the third guy is not inheriting the perfect, you know, personnel for whatever scheme he's going to run. And the Cowboys have familiarity with him. He was coached here under Rod Marinelli for 7 years, which was a big part of them bringing him back to run the defense. He's been successful other places, so how has it been so bad here other than, well, a week before the season starts, you trade the best player he's got, the player he's been building his whole, you know, defense around featuring the entire offseason is suddenly gone a week before you play Philadelphia. And on top of that, you know, they've had injuries at corner, which they anticipated some of these injuries were going to linger at cornerback into the regular season. Well, the way you cover for that is having a pass rush, but then you denied yourself a pass rush when you let Micah Parsons go. So it's a bad situation. You know, they've taken measures to try to correct it. They're getting some players back. Deron Bland's going to play in the game, and he and, you know, Trayvon Diggs are $90 million cornerbacks who have almost never played together the last 2 years because one, the other, or both have always been injured. So that should help stabilize the secondary to some degree. Jadeveon Clowney's probably going to make his debut in this game, and so he gives them a veteran pass rusher who also plays well against the run on the edge, so that could theoretically help. But these coverage busts that we've seen are just unimaginable. Like, a high school quarterback could complete passes with no pressure on him to receivers who are as open as we've seen the Cowboys allow. They're trying to simplify it this week. They're using one word on the coverage calls, and they're not going to try and mix coverages in terms of one side of the field playing one coverage and one playing the other. But that just seems like an opportunity for Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love to have a greater sense of what they're facing and, you know, be more successful throwing the football down the field than everybody's been so far.
Ed Werder, when you think about the fans and how they look at this trade and how they look about Micah Parsons coming back to Cowboys Stadium and playing in Dallas, is there a chance that they could turn on their own team and cheer for Micah when he comes back? I mean, when Brett Favre left Green Bay, there was a turn. There was a divide. Is there any chance that could happen? What's the emotion going to be like in that stadium?
Yeah, I actually covered Brett Favre's return for ESPN to Lambeau Field in a Vikings uniform and had a true sense of what that emotion was like and that atmosphere was like. But this isn't like, to me, this isn't like that, and this isn't like Tom Brady going back to Foxborough. Yeah, Micah was a great player here as an individual, and, you know, he created a lot of success they had when they went 112 games 3 years in a row. But the fan base was not really outraged by this trade. And in fact, in my social media replies, I get responses all the time from Cowboys fans telling me to move on, get over Micah, he's gone, what did they ever win with him, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's almost like they view him in the same way that they do Dak Prescott, you know, a guy who receives a lot of publicity, a guy who is overpaid, a guy who never produces in the postseason when it matters the most, and so. But I do think you're right about if the Cowboys get behind, if they lose this game, and there'll be a substantial Packer presence, I think, in the stands beyond Micah's suite, they could definitely turn on the Cowboys quickly just because the fans are so frustrated by 30 years of no real accomplishment for this franchise. So, Jerry, I mean, it'd be interesting to put them side by side and see who's less popular at this point, Jerry Jones as a general manager or Micah Parsons, you know, as a Green Bay Packer.
Do the Cowboy fans and the fan base down there, do they recognize the fact that the Cowboys have never beaten the Packers since they've opened this new stadium? And I use finger quotes with new because it's not so very new.
Yeah, what, the Packers are 6-0, including playoff games and Super Bowls at AT&T Stadium. That's the most wins without a loss by any team at the venue since it opened. I think they're less aware about that than they are have a general awareness of just how damaging some of these losses in recent times to the Packers have been, where Green Bay's ended the season in the playoffs for some of Dallas's best hopes of ending that 30-year drought of making a championship game appearance or a Super Bowl appearance. I think they're well aware of that, and they're certainly aware of what happened 2 years ago when there was so much expectation for the Cowboys entering the playoffs as a number two seed in their own building, where they'd won 16 consecutive games, the longest winning streak in the NFL by a home team, and faced a Packers team that was the youngest in the league and a quarterback in Jordan Love with no postseason experience, and got run out of their own building. I think there's still a lot of animosity about that, but I don't think it's really directed at the Packers as much as it's directed at Mike McCarthy and Jerry Jones.
as far as this season goes, is there a sense that this is a must win for the Cowboys? Even though it's only week four, I gave out a stat in the first segment of the show, Ed, going back to 1990, less than 10% of the teams that started a season 1-3 went on to make the playoffs. Do they feel like there's a little bit of desperation headed into this football game?
Yeah, I think they understand the importance of winning the game as it pertains to, you know, the ultimate outcome of the season. But to be honest with you, I just don't have the sense that there are very high expectations for this team, given, you know, not only how they played last year with all the injuries, but, you know, now they make this trade and get rid of a prominent player on defense, and they played so poorly on defense. There's not a lot of people who believe in Dak Prescott and the Super Bowl window. And, you know, Jerry talked about when they made the trade that he thinks this is going to help this team this year, and that part of the reason he's doing this is to capitalize on Dak Prescott's remaining Super Bowl window. And like I said, I just don't think that the fan base believes that the owner and the general manager are totally committed to winning, much less winning this year. But yeah, I think they see this as a game of real consequence for the Cowboys, whether it's must win or not. I think they recognize what happens when you go 1-3 and, you know, you almost lose to the Giants, and you did lose to the Bears, who aren't very good. Like, those are the most winnable games on their schedule. This is a team that had to win early. If you look at their schedule, the back half of their schedule is ridiculously difficult. They're the first team to play a bunch of 14-win teams in a single season, and they do it in the second half of the schedule. So, you know, games like Chicago and New York, and then the Jets after this, and Carolina, those are the games they have to win. And yet you can't look out there based on how they played and believe that they're not capable of losing any of these games.
That's Ed Werder covering the covering the Cowboys for WFAA. You can also see him in the Netflix documentary on the 90s Cowboys. Ed, you were fantastic in that. If those are the stories you can tell on the record,
he is
the star of it. I need to sit down and have a beer sometime and hear the stories you can tell off the record about those 90s Dallas Cowboys teams. You can follow him on Twitter at Werder Ed NFL. He's been our guest for the last few minutes on the hotline. Ed, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much for the insight, my man.
Thanks for the opportunity to talk to you guys, and look forward to doing it again at some point in the near future.
Thanks, Ed. Appreciate it. And again, he joins us on the Fan Guest Hotline powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. We got to hit a quick break. On the other side, we got to fly through a six-pack of picks in the NFL this weekend. It's the Pick 6. It's coming up next on 9 to noon, live from the 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, and powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers, the celebrity guests? Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.